Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I've missed a lot of you, but it's nice to come back into this realm. And there's nobody who's more pleased than I am than today has arrived. I've been on a marathon, and it's over. And for that, I'm thankful. I want to just give you a little background of my involvement. I'm only going to take 2 or 3 minutes and get right to your questions because I know you've all had the chance to read the report. I was originally asked to undertake this assignment by Minister Hagan, and I turned him down because I just didn't have the time with commitments I have on the federal scene, giving leadership to resolution of the residential school matters and a national ADR program. He accepted my decline, and I was sorry, and he was sorry, but the next week he was back on the phone, and he had the Attorney General on the phone with him, and by the time the two of them got through with me, they had extracted a commitment to undertake this assignment, and I'm very pleased that I did, because I think it's been it's been something very worthwhile, and I hope it is something that's going to be of substantial value for many years to come to children who grow up in this province, particularly those who have situations that bring them into care or into the child welfare system. It's been a tremendous learning experience over the last 4.5 months, and I want to express my appreciation to everyone who has worked with us. It's been a cooperative joint endeavor by people, a team that came together committed to do the job, and I want to pay particularly tribute to the woman on my right, Maureen Nichols, who's known to many of you, has been around government almost as long as I have, but not quite, and she gave the leadership to the office, and it was her advice with respect to consultants and all that kind of thing that I readily accepted, knowing her background. Besides Maureen, we had Clara Robbins, who came over on a seconded basis from the ministry because I had to have somebody who could answer questions for me as to what was going on there and had been going on there, and she dedicated herself to head up the research section. We had Kim Thoreau, one of a number of consultants, but one who went beyond the call of duty in hours of time to put this together, and I pay final tribute to the writer of the report. I think you're going to find it's hopefully clear, done in plain English, written on my instructions by a lawyer, but a lawyer who's also a journalist. And I think a rare combination, but you've seen the results of plain language, I hope, and we'll find it a meaningful document. But those people are the ones who were at my side. We were in this room from last Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9:30 in the evening, and I said, I'm going to go out and buy you some pizza, and I'm going home. And here's what I want done for tomorrow morning, and I got back Monday morning, and sure enough, it was done. That was the kind of... I think we all realized what this was about, and we were trying to do something that was going to help kids in the future. This morning, Maureen and I went down, and we met with Minister Hagan and some of his officials, with the Premier and Ministers Opal and Less, on a telephone conference call, and I went through the highlights of the report with them for a half hour, and then immediately went to the office of the leader of the opposition, who had with her the critic of this department. They had all, like the government side, had seen the report at 7:30 or 8 this morning and had a chance to go through it. And I took them through the highlights. And I think it's fair to say that Maureen and I were well received in both places. What the ultimate reaction is will be up to you people to get out when we leave here and hopefully find out what their views are on this report. But I want to tell you that, as you will have seen, that one of the calls made in this document is for there to be some cooperative effort on the part of the whole legislature to bring this thing to a successful operating basis. There have been unquestioned problems in the past, and I respect, of course, the role of an opposition party in the democratic process. It's there partially to be critical, and hopefully when it is constructively. That said, I'm looking for the cooperation of both sides of the House in the formation of the all-party committee that it's referred to in that document, where the representative that I have indicated should be appointed as an officer of the House would have the opportunity to come with his or her two deputy representatives and discuss and report and move forward the interests of children in care and who are receiving services of the ministry. So that is the background. That's why I involve those people. I think it's time now to get on and give direction to, as I said, a process that's been on some stormy seas with a lot of problems, many of which are identified in that report. And I'm hopeful that this thing now can come together and much will be gained in the future for children in this province. Now, with those introductory remarks, I'll endeavor to answer questions. Yes?
Did you give the
Minister
of Health
the
opportunity to prepare docs in, you've gone through the 10 or 15 year history, and it's an unmanageable degree of change and revolving door approach to people and philosophies and approaches, but the solution to it.
Yeah. Yes, and if you have another way, I'd sure be interested to hear what it is. You're absolutely right, but it cannot be left as it is. Devolution out into the regions has not had a proper plan. There's a lot of uncertainties. We met with a lot of senior representatives from all of the five regions from across the province. They're people who are dedicated to their work and want to get on with it, but there's been something missing to make this into a cohesive group. And so the option of saying preserve the status quo is not there. I can tell you this, that next time, if there's another time when they're going to change it again, and God forbid, you've used the word commissioner, you've used the word officer, I've got the word representative, and I tell you there isn't another one. I searched every dictionary going, and I don't know next time what they'll do, but I'm not looking forward to next time. I'm calling on this government and this opposition to get together and do the job that's in this report. Unless I understand, you're perfectly right. I've said it's a revolving door. It hasn't worked, the status quo is not an option as far as I'm concerned. And I think the politicians this time are going to listen and do what I think they should do. Jim. Well, I don't think there's any doubt that the core review of 2001-2002 took the knife too far, certainly with availability of dollars. You'll note that I'm critical of the fact that the advocacy role was deleted, and the one thing I heard from all of the groups that came in here and some individuals and those that are listed in the report, I think that was probably the major call, that kids have nobody out there that'll advocate for them either on an individual or a systemic basis. And that's one of the things that went by the board. My own view is that in those days there was a commitment that there was going to, and there may have been good reason to look at overlaps. And I would think, and there were many places in government where there were overlaps, and I think that they went into this process on that basis, and I just think that they were wrong in what occurred, and that's why there's been the instability since in the last 4 or 5 years. Yes, I'll come to you next. Go ahead. Two questions. Is this person really independent? Is that what you asked? Both. I think that the public will get confidence that this person reports only to the elected representatives, does not go through any ministry. That's number one. And number two, I think it makes it much easier for that person, the representative and the two deputies, to engage with the elected people who've got the responsibility at the end of the day. And I'm satisfied that it's the right way to go for those two reasons. Now, your second question was? There were $100 million set aside for recommendations from ongoing reports, and I think this report was very much in the mind of the government when they put that figure forward. My answer to your question is I believe there is, and if there isn't, I would expect them to belly up and make sure there is enough, but I think there is. I think my read on it is that the government realizes that some change is needed, and I'm hopeful they'll just buy into what I've suggested. I'll go here and then there. Yeah. Well, I guess you probably have to ask that of the people who led led us into that route. It's the facts of life that the system is as I found it and reported in that document. Politicians. The opposition has been in the last while has been reasonably vocal. The government saw the need for this commission or my review, not a commission, but to be established. They obviously realized that it couldn't go on the way it was. And I say to them and to the opposition, more power to both of them. At least it's brought it to a head. And, you know, your question could be, are they going to flounder from here on in? I would suggest with you people keeping on them, and you've got a real responsibility to get out there once you found out if they're prepared to go for this, you go out there and do your thing and keep on them in an effective way that only the Fourth Estate can do. You'll be making a real contribution to the outcome of this for those who they're trying to serve. Yep. Well, did you read the correspondence at the back? Well, bluntly put, when I saw what he'd said, I'm not so far away from knowing what the current law is, I felt that what he said was not correct. I sought legal advice to verify that and informed the minister that he was incorrect in suggesting that I could do that under the powers I had. And he replied, and I wanted to make sure he got the point, so I replied to him. And that was the end of the correspondence. All right, we'll go there and then there. Yes? Yes? All right.
You talked about the transfer of powers to First Nations, which is still pending. It should only take place when they demonstrate the ability. So what is that going to take?
It's going to take time, and it's going to take money, and it's going to take collaboration with Aboriginal leadership. There's no point in the government trying to set the agenda and the program for the Aboriginal people who use this system without fully engagement with them. And if that happens, and there's the patience to train people, and the money is put up to do it, then I think that's a very significant movement if all those things come together. Well, we are certainly talking years in the short number. I mean, 4 or 5 years. I would hope this thing could be, but to bring about Aboriginal governments side by side with governing boards that the government may well want to move to in the regions at some point, we're certainly a few years away from that, in my opinion. Well, this is not the commission reinvented. To start with, the commissioner was not an officer of the legislature, did not have that degree of independence that this office will have. It was far more embracing in the work that it did with respect to the matter of review of deaths of children, taking on all deaths. The focus in so far as the representative concerned in that area will be with respect to children who are in care or within the ministry, known to the ministry. And most important of all, the commission had no advocacy role. And that, of course, is a main function of the new representative. And you'll see that I've recommended the two deputy representatives, one heading up the advocacy side, and in that I refer to individual advocacy on behalf of a child or a family, and also a more systemic kind of approach of gathering and advising on policy issues. And then, so those are some of the differences, and there are others. The monitoring role that we're giving this representative, I think, is considerably more extensive than existed before. But on some of the areas, such as review of deaths, it's cut back. So I'm quite satisfied that the changes that have been made by the recommendations of the independent representative will be quite marked from the way the commission did its business. Well, we'll come to number one first. Certainly, there will be internal reviews. That will occur without question. And then the coroner has a role to review all deaths in the limited field, but not insofar as issues relate to the child welfare system. You'll see, I think it's on page 36, where I suggest that that's not where the coroner has the expertise. And but what reports the coroner will make in the kind of deaths he will be investigating will be furnished over to the representative. I would think that the occasions when the representative conducts an inquiry or an investigation with respect to a particular death will be very unusual. I don't think that's not going to be an ongoing thing where every file that comes in the door is going to result in an inquiry or investigation. But at least the representative will have that oversight role, and I would expect you'll find a lot more aggregate reporting out of the representative's office about trends. And remember that the whole purpose of death review is prevention for the future. That's what it's about. And I think the representative will be able to sit in judgment on what has been reviewed at the other levels that the questioner asks about and do some aggregate reporting that will be of benefit to children. The other question, is the child and youth officer out of a job? I would think that once the new legislation is in place, if the government decides to enact new legislation, and I wouldn't know what their plans are, but if so, I would think that, well, then I don't think, the Office of the Children and Youth will, I would think, cease to exist. But let me say this, that I have been a colleague at the bar for many years with Jane Morley, known her for a long time. I've got the highest of admiration for her abilities and her achievements and her knowledge in this area. And I would think that if the government did not want to capitalize and utilize the expertise that she holds in this area, they would be missing the boat. No, I just know that that's the fact.
And what about the transition to the coroner? Can you talk a little bit about why?
Well, it certainly went off the rails. I just don't think there was anybody that seemed to have the will of leadership to get the job done. And not everybody was enthusiastic about the course of events, and there just was a lack of leadership in accomplishing the job, and it just didn't happen. And fortunately, we've been able to get a handle on all those files and know where they are and what happened, and reviews have been conducted now of over 600 by the coroner. And the other 328 reviews will be made and will be reported on in a public report. Oh, well, a fairly extensive period of time. I can't give you the exact time, but things were certainly stalled over a year, year and a half, somewhere in that vicinity. Yes? Well, it's not an ideal system today, and I've pointed out the deficiencies and the way I hope it'll be remedied. He was wrong. No, the cabinet members that I was in touch with, including the premier, were playing a listening role this morning. I think that's where I'd have to. Hopefully, you'll find them more chatty this afternoon. But that's the way I found them. Well, I think that if public reports had been known, as some reports had been made about some things had gone on, there would have been remedies that could have well come to the fore. If you keep things quiet and people don't know, then who can go down the road of improvement? I wouldn't say it was deliberate. It was just the way things were being run. We had people write in about specific cases, but my role wasn't to delve into specific cases. So I don't have the facts on any other specific cases, because that's not where I was going. Pardon? No. Yes, I did, but I can tell you, I am running this residential school program for the federal government's abuse cases. I've been at that for 2.5-3 years. 950 decisions have come across my desk that I have to approve from the adjudicators working with me. I approved 22 this week. And I tell you, the things that I read there and have been found to be factual by very competent people across this country, I guess have conditioned me to the fact that things in this world are not perfect. And yes, what I found here had an element of disillusion to it, but in dealing with this problem, I felt all along that I was dealing with a problem that had a remedy at the end of the road. And when the minister took two runs at me to get me to do this, I felt I was working with somebody who would take seriously what I had to say about how we might fix the system. So, yes, depressing, but a bright spot as well. Okay, now I want to get people that haven't had a chance yet. Yes? Well, as I told you, the death review is a prevention. That's what drives it. And I suppose that there were things that could have been learned. A lot of this can be aggregated to show trends and then seek solutions. So sure, something would be lost, but they're being reported on now, and you'll get a full public statement. Yes. Well, you bring me news. I was not aware that she was going to be the implementer of the report. The answer to your question is no, but my executive director to my right had a telephone conversation with her somewhere over the course of the last couple of months. But I have no contact, and I was unaware that she's going to be the prime implementer. You, as I say, you bring me news, sir. On a what basis? Who she? Oh, I listen. I've never met the woman. It would far be it for me to comment. I don't know her. Yes, Kim. No. A lot more. We had people wanting us to move into a lot of areas, but the time frame was tight. And I'm absolutely satisfied that if this report is adopted, in a substantial measure, that we're on the right road. Yes. Well, yes, and I tell you, I've come through this experience with a very great admiration for the work social workers do out there in the field, and these decisions they have to make about whether a child's at risk or whether or not, and what they do about it is a very demanding role, and I know they burn out, but insofar the revolving door in the main that I talked about was in leadership within the ministry. And I just think that the government of the day has got to bring some stability in the position of deputy minister and the director of child welfare. that they just got to put stability. As far as the minister himself is concerned, we have to bow to the democratic will of the people if they don't want to keep the minister there. But subject to that, at the senior level, I don't think, the 4.5 months have been on this project, you saw the deputy minister go out the door and you saw the director of child welfare. I was, of course, not consulted, and I guess I should say I not know about what I speak, but I'm going to say I have a feeling they didn't go out voluntarily. And if I'm right, they didn't go out from burnout. So I say to the government, get people in there and let them do the job. And my recommendation is 4 years and five would be better. All right? Yes. Yes. I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you. Well, I personally haven't looked at the files, so we had a consultant who did. But I can't really say too much about the content of what was lost, but we have the satisfaction of knowing that they are being reviewed and that a public report will be made with respect to the finding, presumably on an aggregate basis, but I'm not known that for sure. Yes, sir. Well, did I miss something? Has this appointment been announced to implement the report?
Well, I don't know if she is there to implement the report, but she's been appointed as an advisor to the Premier in that file of child and parent. You don't really know what the mandate is.
Well, listen, somebody told me in the hall that you people have an appointment to meet with Minister Hagan at 1:30. I don't know if that's correct or not. Don't go by what I say. I just heard it in the hall. But if that's so, you put the question to him whether there's going to be implementation. And if you get an answer, yes, substantial compliance and forthwith, then my answer to your question is yes, I do have confidence. Were you right to what? Sure. Of course you were. It's a role that you people have. There's a word that goes first and then disturber, and there are times when you have to play that role. And and what's your question arising out of that? Because I'm not going to argue with you.
I'm just asking if you share that opinion, if you have concerns that this government tried to take moral high ground.
Well, I'm more interested in looking at the future, and I think they've got the message. I may be wrong. You'll find that out this afternoon. But I think they've got the message. Now. Oh, I if I had to choose between the two, I'd say the former.
Do you have any
other options? No. Good question. I'm not going to judge that. Well, the thing fell through. All this was supposed to happen. And there's a variety of people and agencies who had a responsibility. And it never got done. Okay, now I think we're getting close to the end, but go ahead. Yep. Oh, I haven't pursued it. It's pursuable, but it wasn't my role to do that. I couldn't. That's not for me to. Personally, I think the emphasis should be on going forward. That I really think, you know, I guess I'm going a little quick when I said it's not for me to say. I am going to say something. I think that in the interest of children of this province who were all here, and that the driving force to get this thing going and getting it going in the right direction, is the future. And I would rather see money and effort and sweat put into the future based upon these recommendations than spending those kind of efforts and dollars looking backwards for just to see who's put out the door. I just don't see that being as productive. Okay, Les. Well, neither of the two people you reference were officers of the legislature. And I've been an officer of the legislature myself, and I know something about the independence that brings to the person if they've got the jelly to say what's on their mind. And that's the kind of a person we want to get installed in this position, and that'll be to the benefit of everybody. Now, who hasn't had a question that wants to get one off their chest? Well, if not, yes? Well, I'll take you two, and then I think my work is complete? Yes, it is. God, I tell you, I haven't had a day off since New Year's Day. You're damn right it's complete. Well, I have received invitations to go out and speak about my report, and I've declined till later in the year once the legislature has had a chance to do its thing. The ball is no longer in my court, but I may pick up some of those invitations later in the year if I think I should. You have a last question, sir. I certainly would not. And that's not because I don't think it's a very valuable position, but for me, the sand has gone pretty much through the egg timer. And therefore, that won't be for me. But it'll be a very challenging position for the right person. And one thing that I'm very committed to is that at least one of the three, the commissioner or one of the two deputies or more than one, be a person of Aboriginal background who has walked the walk and talked the talk. How old am I? I'm 78 years of age. I think that's a good question to close on. So thank you all very much. Yes, Les.